Wow, hey, how's it going?
Good.
Oh, man. Sitting back there, and I'm like, wow, y'all sound good. That's coming from your heart, right? Right, that worship, not just performing for each other, you know, kind of trying to impress the person next to you or behind you or whatever. Man, that is what it's like. Oh, like you can impress somebody, right? Yeah, I know how that works. Oh, man, it's good to be back. We have had our first full week of 2023. How's it going?
Excellent.
You having a good year so far?
Yep,
pretty good. Well, you might know this, you might not. I've been up here once or twice to be able to say thank you for just the remarkable sabbatical time that Lisa and I were able to have to end 2022. Incredible. We were able to see just some great, great things, more mountains than we've ever seen in our life. Lisa's never been out west, and I haven't been since I was like a little kid. So to see the Rockies and to go to places we've never seen before was incredible. Also to spend time together, just the two of us. Just in a really cool way. So it was a really amazing way to end 2022. And then we stepped back into CCW about a month ago, and we are looking right at Christmas season, like December. And it was amazing. I don't know if you've been around much over the last month, but it seemed like there was something really cool happening like every single week. We had carols and cookies, and we had people going through the neighborhood praying. We had a campus prayer walk on New Year's. We had Christmas Eve services where like over 900 people showed up that weekend and worshiped together, and just an amazing time. And I don't know if I've had a chance to say it out loud, but I just appreciate every single person and the work that they were able to put into all that happened in December, from our prayer team to our booth down in the Bat Cave, the camp. I mean, our red shirts, some of them were here. I mean, some of these guys get here at 6 o'clock in the morning on Sundays to unlock the doors every single week. The cafe, there's something going on all over the place. And so to step out of this culture for 3 months and then step back in December, it was like, wow. Wow, it was just a new appreciation, a different kind of appreciation for what God is doing in you, through you. Thank you. It is incredible what God is doing here. And I hope you know you are part of a very, very special, special family. And all that we saw on our trip, there's nothing like coming home. Nothing like coming home to you guys. I love you so, so, so much. And it's really cool. So we praise God for that. Now, along with stepping back in, last week, as you know, we started the brand new year with a brand new series called The Way. Josh did a great, great job of kicking this off. The Way is going to take us through the book of Mark in our Bibles. So if you have your Bibles, go ahead and flip those open. You can find it maybe on your phone or right there in your seats in front of you. If you don't have a Bible and you'd like one, you can take ours home. Just, they're not ours anymore, they're yours. But grab that, find the book of Mark in your New Testament. If there's someone around you that's having trouble finding it, go ahead and help them out a little bit, the book of Mark. While you're doing that, we started this series by asking the question, we got so many cool things here. I just gotta let you know. There's some bulletins you can grab. There's some sermon notes inside of there that'll kind of help you through the sermon today. We are answering the question in this series, who is this man? Who is this man? And on the back, there's this really cool checklist, this card. If you didn't get a card, you can see how, see how I designed that throw so it didn't poke somebody's eye out? That's really good. You can grab that if you didn't get one. We got these reading plans through the Gospel of Mark. How many of y'all are doing these? Yeah, no? Okay, one or two. Watch this. I worked real hard on this one. I got to move over a little bit. Sorry. Dave, beware. All right. How many of y'all got these reading, this reflection guides? Man, Josh did a great job on these. These are for small groups, families, individual study, and you can grab, I don't know how well these throw, so I'm just going to, or how well you catch, but that's okay. The Way, man, The Way. We're going through this book of Mark, and we're talking, when we start answering this question, who is this man? We started last week by answering that question. Jesus, he's the man, by the way. Jesus is a man on, help me out.
A mission,
right. A man on mission. And we discovered how Jesus lived on mission. He preached on mission. Everything he did was on mission. And then just before he left earth for heaven, he gave his followers the greatest mission of all time, a mission that we are a part of. We hear it in Matthew 28, 18 through 20. It happens to be our mission statement as a church, where Jesus says, "All authority on heaven, in heaven and on earth has been given to me." Then he goes on, "Go on and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you." That is our mission statement. He says, "I will be with you always to the very end of the age." Jesus was a man on mission. Now today, I'll go back to that very opening statement of the mission statement that Jesus gave us, where he says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Who is this man? Who is this Jesus? And in that statement, Jesus says, he is a man of authority. A man of authority. You can write that down. You can circle it, put it on your checklists. Jesus was a man of authority. And I hope we're going to see that today as we go through Mark. But first, I've got to ask a question, just kind of pump the brakes a little bit. Y'all know what authority is? Have y'all ever thought about this? Like, what does authority mean? What is authority? Now, who comes into your mind when you hear that word? Or what comes into your mind? Authority. Well, the definition of authority is the power given to act, influence, or command thought, command opinion, or command behavior. That's what authority is. So I've got to ask you, did Jesus have authority? Did he have authority? If you're saying yes, how do you know? I mean, he said he had authority, but how do you know he had authority? I want to give you a chance to answer that question with each other. All right, for just 30 seconds, maybe a minute, somebody sitting next to you, around you, whatever. Why don't you go ahead and share some of the ways that you believe and you know that Jesus had authority. All right, just kind of start processing this. What are some ways Jesus showed that he had authority? All right, take just a minute to share with one another. If you need to get up, move around, you can. And I'll call you back in just about 30 seconds to a minute. All right. Get your imaginations going, your thoughts, wheels turning. So you think Jesus had authority, all right? You think he might have had, okay, I do too, as a matter of fact. In fact, I absolutely believe that Jesus has authority. And the book of Mark takes us through this evidence, this just epic journey through the authority of Jesus. Mark 1 through 3, just the first three chapters, really set the stage in showing us Jesus as a man of authority. In fact, throughout Mark, we're going to see this word authority used 10 different times in reference to Jesus and all kinds of other times in the Gospels, especially the Gospel of Matthew, and then, of course, throughout the New Testament. In the book of Mark, for example, as Josh taught us last week, we see God declaring at the very beginning, we see God declaring the authority of Jesus as his son at his baptism. And then Jesus is off to the wilderness where he shows his authority over Satan, using the authority of the Word of God, a man of authority. And by the way, as we were going through that story last week, we kind of skipped over one of my very favorite parts of that story. We went right from Jesus being tempted and defeating Satan to where he was being ministered to by the angels. Well, Mark 1:13, it says Jesus was with the wild animals. Maybe you don't think that's as cool as I do. I'm like, man, Jesus was with the wild animals. So that either means he was like some kind of like mountain man kind of dude, or else he literally had authority over the wildest of animals. With the wild animals, I just thought that was cool. And then later, Mark 1, 21 through 28, and I want you to turn there, and we're just going to put a bullseye on these few verses today. Mark 1, 21 through 28. Jesus is going into Capernaum with his disciples. And immediately on the Sabbath, they go into the synagogue, and he was teaching. This was the way of Jesus. This is what he did. He goes into the synagogue, and he's teaching. And verse 22 says this: the people were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as, help me out, one who had what? Authority. He taught them as one who had authority, and not like the scribes. Verse 23, and immediately during this teaching in the synagogue, a man comes up to Jesus with an unclean spirit, and he cries out, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us?" It's like the spirit in this dude was acknowledging the authority of Jesus. He says, "Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are. You are the Holy One of God." And Jesus rebukes him, saying, "Be silent and come out. Come out of him." And the unclean spirit, verse 26, convulsing him and crying out with a loud voice, came out of him. And they were all amazed, and they questioned among themselves, saying, "What is this? Who is this man?" You just feel yourself in that moment. What is this? A new teaching with authority. He commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him. Talk about authority. And at once, his fame starts spreading everywhere throughout the surrounding region of Galilee. Remember that, how famous Jesus is becoming. I'll come back to that. Who is this man with this kind of authority? And we are only halfway through the first chapter in the book of Mark. Later in Mark, we're going to see Jesus' authority over sickness itself, over the demon-possessed, over leprosy, that untouchable disease. In chapter 2, during a great story of healing, we see this paralyzed man lowered through the roof by his friends. And Jesus is about to do something amazing. In fact, if you have your study guides, you'll be able to get into that story this week in Luke chapter 2 about this man and Jesus' authority with him. So Jesus, when this guy is lowered down, he forgives his sin. That is a thing of authority. And the religious leaders, they go bonkers over this. Like, that, you can't do that. And Jesus answers in verse 9, "Which is easier to say to a paralyzed man, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Rise, take up your bed and walk'? Which is easier?" In verse 10, "But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority to forgive sins," he says to the paralytic, "Rise, pick up your bed, and go home." And he does. He picks up his bed, and he's not paralyzed anymore. Authority of Jesus. What a scene. Later, Jesus claims authority to update the very law of Moses. He goes to the issues of fasting and keeping the Sabbath, and he says, "I am the Lord of the Sabbath." Authority. Chapter 3, he's passing along to his disciples the authority to preach and cast out demons. Chapter 4, he shows his authority over nature itself, and he tells a storm to be still. And it does. It's about authority. Chapter 5, there's this woman, and she is healed by just touching the robe of his garment. And then later in that chapter, a ruler named Jairus comes to Jesus. His daughter is dead, and Jesus raises Jairus' daughter from the dead. He's going to feed thousands of people from virtually nothing, bread and fish. He's going to walk on water. He's going to take on religious leaders and ancient traditions. He's going to see blind men, and they are going to see again. Deaf people are going to hear again by the authority of Jesus. He is going to predict the future. He's going to flip tables in the temple, and he is going to wither a fig tree with the sound of his voice. Chapter 11, Mark records that Jesus has his authority questioned by the religious leaders. They're like, enough of this. Okay, they've just had it. And what does Jesus do? Mark 11, he stops them in their tracks. They've got no answer for him. And then he goes on his way. He goes on his way all the way to his trial, to his brutal death on the cross, to his burial in the tomb. And after 3 days, praise the Lord, y'all, Jesus proves his authority as God once and for all and forever. When he is raised from the dead, he walks on the earth alive. He ascends to heaven to reign as King of kings and Lord of lords at the right hand of God forever and ever and ever. Jesus has all authority over heaven and earth, and he proved it with his resurrection. Authority. He shows it as a preacher, a rabbi, a prophet, a healer, a forgiver of sins, a servant leader, a man of prayer, a revolutionary, a disciple maker, the great I am, the Son of Man and God's one and only beloved Son, the bridegroom of the church and the risen Savior of mankind. All through history, the authority of Jesus is absolutely undeniable. The thing is, for most of us, the problem isn't that we deny or don't understand the authority of Jesus. I think we get it. It's just that in our everyday life choices, maybe the way we behave, it just doesn't seem like we really care. We take it seriously. You see, the fact that he has authority, if we're not careful, might not change our life or transform us at all. Be honest. Just be honest. Does the authority of Jesus alone move you? Does it move you to surrender to him, to love him, to worship and follow and be transformed, be changed by him? I think if we're honest, we'll admit that authority doesn't make the difference. I mean, think about our everyday lives, husbands, wives. Authority only gets you so far. Husbands, some of y'all are trying to make your marriage work by having authority over your wives, telling them what to do, thinking your salary makes all the difference in the world. Or wives, you think your authority, but you can just nag them to death. You know, like, hey, look, if I just look. We know this is true with our kids, right, too, parents? You know, authority only gets you so far. Think about coaches, teachers, police officers, church leaders, our boss at work, even the security guard driving around your neighborhood with that little light on his car, right? You talk about authority. I mean, they have authority, but so what? So what? I mean, we respect the authority because we don't want to get in trouble, or maybe we want to get credit for obeying the authorities. But unfortunately, in some cases, people have abused their authority and have caused some of us to have authority issues. You guys know who you are. See, I think the key for authority to truly transform us isn't found in just doing what someone says because they are boss, because they have authority. Transformation begins to happen when we understand and when we experience the love behind the authority, the relationship between the two. Think about it. The authority of someone really matters most in the context of love, especially love expressed through something called intimacy. Intimacy. Intimacy, literally defined, is actions that are motivated by love. So think about authority motivated by love. Actions motivated by love, a close familiarity, a friendship, or closeness. Example of this, yesterday we had a beautiful service celebrating the life of Greg Bukowski. Some of y'all know and love Greg. He's a servant leader here, a good friend of many of us, and surely be missed. And I heard it yesterday as I do it, and I've done my share of funerals, and you guys have been to your share. Every funeral I do, and this is just the truth, rarely does anybody talk about the impact that somebody's authority had in their life. They're remembered, the stories, they're remembered for their intimacy. They're remembered for their closeness, their friendship, their actions. Actions motivated by love for their relationship with that person. I mean, we understand that. Authority matters. Of course authority matters. But when it's partnered with intimacy is when it truly gains power. Think about this. It's intimacy that motivates a child to obey his parents in a lasting way. Well, they might say yes for now, but in a lasting way, a way that lasts for a lifetime. It's intimacy that drives an employee to work extra hard for the boss or the company that really cares for them. It's intimacy that makes a marriage strong and biblical when we learn to love and to respect each other. It's intimacy that drives 60 grown men to their knees on national TV during a football game for a teammate that has gone down and might not get up. It's intimacy that drives the Son of God himself to a cross. The way of Jesus is defined by love. The authority of God must be understood in that context, the context of love, which is expressed through intimacy. I mean, if you're like me, somewhere along your lifetime, you've heard this expression, why should I do this? Like, go clean your room. Why? Because I told you so. My parents were famous for this, y'all. I don't know if anybody else was, but hey, go clean your room. Why? I told you so. Go wash the dishes. Why? I told you so. I was like, what? How far does that get, y'all? I mean, it's like, well, okay, I get it. All right, I told you so. Look, the way of Jesus isn't doing what God says just because he told you so. It's doing what God says because he loves you so. Do you understand? I mean, John 3:16, we've got to say that, right? For God so loved the world, God so loved you that he gave his one and only Son, that by believing in him, we will not perish, but will have everlasting life. Don't you think for a minute God doesn't have the authority to make you do something. But he chose to love you into doing something, and that is following him and following his Son and not perishing, but having eternal life. This is the way of Jesus. He lived perfectly in a relationship between authority and intimacy. The way of Jesus is the way of intimacy. We see it all through the book of Mark. Partnered with authority, Jesus had this intimate relationship with God the Father, with the Holy Spirit, and with people. Now, we're going to talk about his relationship with people throughout this entire series. So I want to zero in on his intimacy with his Father. So again, let's go back to the baptism of Jesus, Mark chapter 1, all right? The Spirit of God descends on Jesus and says to him, now sense the intimacy here between a Father and a Son and the Holy Spirit. They're all there in this one place. And these words are heard. You are my beloved Son. In you I am well pleased. You are my beloved. Is there a son in this room that doesn't want to hear those words from his father? Intimacy. He says similar intimate words about Jesus again in Mark chapter 9 during his transfiguration. After his baptism, Jesus again, he's driven into the wilderness by the Spirit of God for a time of intimacy. And then out of that intimacy, that intimacy results in an authoritative victory over Satan himself. The way of Jesus. I love Mark chapter 1, verse 35. It talks about the intimacy that Jesus had with his Father. Again, remember, he has become so famous. I mean, everybody's crowding around Jesus. They want to see what he's going to do next. And Mark 1:35 says, rising very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus departed. And he went out to a desolate place, and there he prayed. This is the way of Jesus. He sought intimacy with his Father God, getting away from the crowds to be with him over and over and over again all throughout his life, all the way through to the Garden of Gethsemane. Maybe you remember that story. Even on the cross, intimacy with his Father, that was his way. Jesus lives in this intimate relationship with his Father. And to think like Jesus, we, you and I, can also have that same kind of intimate connection with God. In fact, God loves us, and he desires that kind of intimacy with us. God the Father, Jesus the Son, and the Holy Spirit together literally made a way for you and I to spend life with him now and forever into eternity. That's the good news. That is incredible to think about. I mean, sure, we're all a mess. I mean, does any of us deserve that? But look, God loves us enough that he sent his only son that we might be made clean. We were just reminded of that during communion day. That was awesome. That's how much he loves us. The loving sacrifice of Jesus makes us righteous. It creates this clean space in us. That's what Jesus does, so that he can literally, the Holy Spirit can come literally take residence inside of us because of the blood of Jesus. He makes us righteous, this clean space, and this Holy Spirit comes and lives in us. And now, because of Jesus, we can experience that kind of love, the love of God in us through his presence, the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives. See, we might know God's divine authority over us, but it's ultimately knowing God's divine intimacy with us that will transform us. That's what drives us to love and to worship and to follow and to obey and to serve and to stand for God in a way that truly lasts. It's not here today and gone tomorrow. So today, we can thank Mark for his words in this book, for helping us recognize Jesus was absolutely a man with authority and a man of intimacy with God. A man who had authority over people, yet intimacy with people. A God with authority over you, and yet desires intimacy with you. Today I pray that you would want nothing more than to experience that kind of intimacy with the God who loves you, to know his love, and like Jesus, you would long to be with him, to be alone with him, to pray, to read, to know his word, to retreat, to be quiet, to be even silent with him, to know as you walk through your daily life that he is with you, he is with you, he is with you, to listen to his voice, to worship, to stop, to get away from the crowds, from the busyness, and be with him. Then go do for him. Many of you know, and I mentioned this earlier, the sabbatical that we were able to take, Lisa and I, it was just a few months that we had to truly experience this kind of intimacy with God and with each other. And by the way, husbands, wives, take time to get away with each other. Don't let life get in the way of your intimacy with one another. But this was just an incredible time, and it was truly a gift. And you might think that it was the mountains and the epic, you know, just this majestic scenery that it did. It brought us into the presence of God. And you might think that's what that really perpetuated that intimacy with God during our sabbatical. These moments, days at a time in the mountains. But I've got to tell you, I've practiced this message 5 times. I can hardly get through this because it is so real, y'all. Intimacy with God isn't just in the mountains and it's in the closet. It's in the dark times. It's being silent for minutes at a time, not just days. It's creating that space for him to know him and know that he knows you. It wasn't just in the celebration and the fun times. Sure it was. But it was also in the times of relentless grief, times of repentance, times of honesty with God, intimacy. That was the way of Jesus. He modeled it for us. It's like he was saying, you know, if I can do this, you can do this. And as I stand here today, I say, if I can do this, you can do this. And sure, it's not going to look the same for you as it does for me. But God designed each of us to experience intimacy with him, to abide in him. He talks about this in the book of John. He prays for this, to abide in him, to live in union with him in our own unique spirit-led way. God is calling you as a son and as a daughter of God, who he created, to do life with him, to do life in him, with his spirit alive in you. That's why we have this core value here at CCW called spirit-led living. That's the way of Jesus. It's life where the two of you become one, the two of us and God. We walk together, we do life together, we live together. We walk together as one, intimately, under his authority. Spirit-led living means taking the time, doing our part, really getting to know God, to know his love deep down inside of us, and then living our lives with nothing in between us. Not because we have to, but because we love him and he knows he loves us. Nothing in between us. Not sin, not guilt, not regret. We live under his authority, his loving authority, free and forgiven in Christ. So as we begin 2023, as we start this new year, I pray that we will say goodbye to anything standing between us and God. Just leave it behind. Maybe it's some of the busyness, maybe it's being preoccupied, but it is the obvious extra in our lives that we know comes between us and that intimacy with God. And today, if you are avoiding intimacy with God in order to avoid the authority of God, it ain't gonna work. Look, God's authority, whether you say he is or not. So you might as well get to know him, give him a place in your life, and not just respect him and obey him, but come to know him and love him and follow him. You can't avoid his authority. Since Jesus really is this man of authority, let's make this the day, this the week, make this the year to really get to know him and to love him and to follow him intimately. And then live under his authority as sons and daughters of God. That's what the living the way of Jesus is all about. That's why he modeled the spirit-led living for us. It's the way that we want to be. It's the church family we want to be. It's what our community needs to see in us as we bring the hope of Jesus to them. A people where intimacy with God leads to gladly loving and trusting and submitting and serving under his authority in a way that is undeniable. The bottom line is, see this through Mark. The Father and the Son, listen, y'all, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, the Godhead who created all that ever was. All that ever was is calling you to live under his authority in an intimate relationship with him. And for some of you today, that might mean finally and forever coming to Christ for salvation in the first place. You're trying to give space to God without giving your life to God. You're coming to God looking for intimacy when you've not committed your life to Jesus in the first place. Want all your prayers answered. You want him to hear your voice. And he does, but I think of Peter, Acts 2:38. You talk about a guy with intimacy with Jesus. Jesus has gone on to heaven, and Peter is preaching this sermon to thousands of people who saw Jesus with their own eyes. They saw him alive again. after he was crucified, after he was in the grave 3 days, they see Jesus. They recognize the authority of the Son of God, whom they had just killed, and they ask Peter what they should do. What do we do? And Peter answers, repent. Turn away. Turn away from your old life. Let nothing come between you and God. Repent and be baptized. Be baptized in the name, in the authority of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift. This is a gift of intimacy, y'all, the gift of the Holy Spirit of God himself. This is the way of Jesus. He lived a perfect life. He died for our sins. He rose from the dead so that we can now receive his Spirit, live by his Spirit in us. This is a promise to us. This is his offer to us, his offer to you. You can begin that relationship today, right now. That's why at the end of this service, our elders will be up front. Our prayer team will be here to minister to you. I have to apologize. This is really off topic. I'll be up here, but I'll be wearing a mask because my son had COVID and he's at the tail end of this. But I would love to talk to you about accepting Jesus and getting baptized into Christ and living that new life for him. We're going to be here. So I hope I don't scare you off with that. In your bulletins, there's some tips and some ideas there for your next steps. You can visit our Next Step station, and we'll talk to you about that. If you are a baptized Christ follower, I've got to ask you today as we get ready to stop, do you really believe that the Holy Spirit of God is now in you, that he lives in you? Because if I read my Bible right and I believe what Jesus really said, if I believe what God says about it, the Holy Spirit of God is in me and he is in you. We don't have time to even attempt to get into that today, to understand this great mystery. But if we understand what it means, even just a little bit, it will change everything. Everything about us, everything about this church. This means we can begin to walk in step with the Spirit of God boldly, with the authority of God in us boldly. That we could create space in our lives for this intimacy with God, knowing he is with us always, always, always to the very end of the age. So today, decide you'll make that space with God, that you'll live under his authority, but first to make that space for intimacy with God every day. I want to encourage you to make a deal with your small group, because certainly you're in a small group. Make a deal with your small group, maybe your family or a mentor, somebody that's discipling with you, and say, hey, look, I want to do this. Let's do this together. Make a time, a place, a plan. And if you're up for the challenge, I want to encourage you to take a whole day, 24 hours, for that intimacy with God. It's called a Sabbath day. It's a really good idea. In fact, it's God's idea. Just an idea. There's plenty of them out there to help you develop that intimacy with God, and I can't wait to explore those ideas with you all throughout the year. You can start with the tools and resources that are available for you. I won't throw them out there at you anymore, but they're there. Study guides, reading plans, online resources on our website. Come back for future worship experiences. All through 2023, we're going to continue together to experience the Spirit-led living together, the way of Jesus. Don't miss that. So who is this man? Who is this man? He's the man with authority, the authority of God. And he's a man of intimacy, intimacy with God. That's the way of Jesus. And it can be our way too. Today, I want to just spend a minute, if I got time, yeah, just a minute as the band comes out, and just to take some time to rest and to breathe and to be quiet, like silent. Okay, I want to take a time for us to just understand that intimacy with God for ourselves. And maybe I think differently now because, you know, I've lost my parents. Some of you guys know this over the last couple years. Some of you have lost loved ones, and I think, man, what I wouldn't do for just 15 more minutes with my dad, with my mom. So maybe that's framed my thinking a little bit, but when I get up in the morning, I think, man, what I wouldn't do for 15 minutes with the creator of the universe, my heavenly father. And we can do that. And I don't want to leave today without doing that. Not 15 minutes. But we can certainly take 5. So I just want to ask you to just bow your heads and just imagine crawling up into your Heavenly Father's lap. If this is a time where you recognize His authority and surrender to Him, maybe there's something between you, just listen to His voice. He'll let you know. Our time to be intimate with Him. Our Father, who is in heaven, hallowed be Your name. Y'all, I know sitting still can be really tough. But you can do it. And I just want to encourage you to take this, just this small practice, into the coming week and make that space for God. Be intimate with him. Recognize his authority, his love for you. And now, just as we have sat and been quiet together, we get to close our service with a song, a prayer. And that song is that we would stand together. So let's stand together if you're able, and let's worship. Just as we've been able to sit in his love, let's stand in his love together. Let's sing and worship him.